Around the World in 80 Days, by Jules Verne. Chapter 37, in which it is shown that Phileas Fogg gained nothing by his tour around the world, unless it were happiness. Yes, Phileas Fogg in person. The reader will remember that 8:05 in the evening, about 5:20 after the arrival of the travellers in London, Passepartout has been sent by his master to engage the services of the Reverend Samuel Wilson in a certain marriage ceremony, which was to take place the next day. Passepartout went on his errand enchanted. He soon reached the clergyman's house, but found him not at home. Passepartout waited a good 20 minutes, and when he left the reverend gentleman, it was 8:35. But in what a state he was! With his hair in disorder, and without his hat, he ran along the street as never man was seen to run before, overturning passers-by, rushing over the sidewalk like a waterspout. In 3 minutes he was in Savile Road again, and staggered back to Mr. Fogg's room. He could not speak. "What is the matter?" asked Mr. Fogg. "My master!" gasped Passepartout. "Marriage! Impossible! 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 For tomorrow! Why so? Because tomorrow is Sunday!"
"Monday," replied Mr. Fogg.
"No, today is Saturday."
"Saturday? Impossible!"
"Yes, yes, yes, yes," cried Passepartout. "You have made a mistake of one day. We arrived 24 hours ahead of time, but there are only 10 minutes left." Passepartout had seized his master by the collar and was dragging him along with irresistible force. Phileas Fogg, thus kidnapped, without having time to think, left his house, jumped into a cab, promised £100 to the cabman, and having run over 2 dogs and overturned 5 carriages, reached the Reform Club. The clock indicated 9:15 when he appeared in the great saloon. Phileas Fogg had accomplished the journey around the world in 80 days. Phileas Fogg had won his wager of £20,000. How was it that a man so exact and fastidious could have made this error of a day? How came he to think that he arrived in London on Saturday, the 21st of December, when it was really Friday, the 20th, the 79th day only from his departure? The cause of the error is very simple. Phileas Fogg had, without suspecting it, gained one day on his journey, and this merely because he had travelled constantly eastward. He would have, on the contrary, had lost a day had he gone in the opposite direction, that is, westward. In journeying eastward, he had gone towards the sun, and the days therefore diminished for him as many times 4 minutes as he crossed degrees in the direction. There are 360 degrees on the circumference of the earth, and these 360 degrees, multiplied by 4 minutes, gives precisely 24 hours. That is, the day unconsciously gained. In other words, while Phileas Fogg, going eastward, saw the sun pass the meridian 80 times, his friends in London only saw it pass the meridian 79 times. This is why they awaited him at the Reform Club on Saturday, and not Sunday, as Mr. Fogg thought. And Passepartout's famous family watch, which had always kept London time, would have betrayed this fact if it had marked the days as well as the hours and the minutes. Phileas Fogg, then, had won £20,000, but as he had spent nearly £19,000 on the way, this pecuniary gain was small. His object was, however, to be victorious and not to win money. He divided the £1,000 that remained between Passepartout and the unfortunate Fix, against whom he cherished no grudge. He deducted, however, from Passepartout's share the cost of the gas which had burned in his room for 1920 hours, for the sake of regularity. That evening, Mr. Fogg, as tranquil and phlegmatic as ever, said to Iota, "Is our marriage still agreeable to you?" "Mr. Fogg," replied she, "it is for me to ask that question. You were ruined, but now you are rich again." "Pardon me, madame. My fortune belongs to you. If you had not suggested our marriage, my servant would not have gone to Reverend Samuel Wilson's. I should not have been apprised of my error, and—"
"Dear Mr. Fogg," said the young woman.
"Dear Iota," replied Phileas Fogg. It need not be said what the marriage took place 48 hours after, and that Passepartout, glowing and dazzling, gave the bride away. Had he not saved her, and was not entitled to this honour. The next day, as soon as it was light, Passepartout rapped vigorously at his master's door. Mr. Fogg opened it and asked, "What's the matter, Passepartout?"
"What is it, sir? Why, I've just this instant found out what? That we might have made the tour of the world in only 78 days.
"No doubt," returned Mr. Fogg, "by not crossing India. But if I had not crossed India, I should not have saved Iota. She would have not been my wife, and—" Mr. Fogg quietly shut the door. Phileas Fogg had won his wager, and had made his journey around the world in 80 days. To do this he had employed every means of conveyance—steamers, railways, carriages, yachts, trading vessels, sledges, elephants. The eccentric gentleman had thought throughout displayed all his marvellous qualities of coolness and exactitude. But what then? What had he really gained by all this trouble? What had he brought back from his long and weary journey? Nothing, say you? Perhaps so. Nothing but a charming woman, who, strange as it may appear, made him the happiest of men. Truly,
Would you not, for less than that, make the tour around the world?
The End.
Read by David Russell. For Lit2Go, available on the web at fcit.usf.edu.